Welcome to the Williams Nikan YB Herdon phone conference line.
So, good morning. Who's calling in this morning?
Pat Kelly.
Well, Pat, you got on. Great.
I got on, yeah.
Welcome to our call. We don't have the WebEx up because our server is down for right now.
All right.
I'm not sure if it will get up during this period of time or not.
Life happens.
It does, and so does the internet. So, good morning. Who else has called and wants to say hi? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Monty here from Washington.
Good morning, Monty from Olympia, Washington. And Pat was there. You're calling in from Illinois, right, Pat?
Gary, Indiana.
Indiana.
Yeah, Gary, Indiana.
All right, great. I knew that.
Almost sounds like a break into song.
Yeah.
I used to know a whole state song when I was teaching my kids the states.
Oh, yeah?
Something about I'll wear my new jersey or something.
Oh, I only know the first line. Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana.
I told you. I told you. I didn't hear that one before. I don't think you heard that.
You haven't heard that? Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
That's from the Music Man.
Yeah. Oh, from the Music Man. I'm going to have to. Well, I vibes the most. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our call. Hi, Margaret. Calling in from Tennessee.
Bessie, Monty is there.
You see him? Oh, you guys can see the. Oh, you must. I can't get the internet up.
Yes, I did.
Our server is not up. So,
oh, okay.
That's why you're having a problem getting on the WebEx. It's not there. I'll keep trying, but we are going to go ahead and get started. So good morning, everyone. This is Ruth Williams, and I'll be your hostess today. And I certainly welcome you. We love getting up early and getting started. We so appreciate those who come on the call and share with us. Our mission for HealthStyle is to educate, to simplify and motivate ourselves and all we can reach to follow a path that leads to health and possibly to an income to support that endeavor and a lifestyle of freedom by helping others to do the same. Our company is NECAN, partnered with Healthy Child, Healthy World, both dedicated to a toxic-free environment, one of the pillars of good health for our body in particular. I'm going to turn off the chimes at this time. So, once more, if you're having trouble getting on to the WebEx, it's because our server is down here and I'm unable to load it.
Do you want me to load it?
Oh, that would probably be nice. I don't know if you'll be, I rearranged the order of the slides, so I'm not sure if you'll be able to find them. But yeah, go ahead and try that, Mary Lou. Great
okay.
idea. So today and each day, we invite anyone who has results or has some challenges or questions. We ask you to share, and as you share, keep in mind to briefly tell us how it was before and how your situation has improved. And then with questions, we're here to help you clarify and help you on your self-improvement path. So today, I was talking about toxins primarily as we look at our mission statement. We really can't improve our health all that much if we're still in a world of so many toxins. And some of you, and probably most of you, have seen our presentations on the water. For instance, and all of the toxicities that are in that water, and we even had a list at the bottom of that slide that shows some of the toxins that are in our water and also the results of intaking those toxins. And no matter how alkaline we get our water, if it still has all these toxins in it, it's still going to be toxic. And you can't help but wonder if all of these diseases we hear about are related to the water and the air and to our environment. And, of course, that's why we're very excited about being partnered with Healthy Child, Healthy World. And have you ever heard or noticed or known of people who were all in one area? It seemed like a lot of people in that area were getting cancer. Or lately I heard of some different problems of Parkinson's, or the one that makes your palsies and different things like that. Have you noticed or heard of incidences like that with a lot of people having those kinds of problems and wondered what's in the water? Anybody ever had that kind of a problem with your water? If so, well, now all of us here are using the Nikan water, probably. So I would think that if we're going to reverse the disease statistics, that we are going to have to be sure that we've covered the base one, and that's trying to get all the toxins away from our bodies and our families and our homes. And so many of us have done that. And then we have the slide that has the skin toxins that we take in through our skin. And so that's another area where we want to watch out for the toxins. I was just recently talking about something. I just mentioned something about toxins, and somebody said, yeah, like in the shampoos. Or you can't ever find a shampoo without any toxins in it. I said almost. And then they said, oh. And then we talked a little bit about this, and skincare as well. And then we talk about it in our food. And especially with the MSG. Okay, so are you able to follow this at all with the slides, Mary Lou? Are they up?
I've got the slides up, but they I'm jumping all around. It's okay.
I just make a list of these. My poor partners, I just make a list and say, okay, this is the order of the slides. The next thing I do is change them. I appreciate their patience with that.
I'm on the MSG one.
So that moves us into all the toxins that might be in our foods. And one of them that Mary Lou talked about yesterday particularly was about the sugar in our foods and the high fructose corn syrup. And so we have to cut those out if we're going to be healthy, you know. And some of us... we say we're going to follow this program and be alkaline or whatever, and people are making up all these foods for us, and we have to find a way to protect ourselves. And I really liked some of the suggestions that came up yesterday about just sharing with people that we're allergic to sugar, which indeed we are. So another thing is these, if we continue having them in our food, then that will lead to a list of all these different kinds of diseases this is not easy without slides, you guys. Without leading to all these diseases. And Mary Lou, you can probably pop that slide up, maybe, and share a little bit on there. Some of them are directly related to the toxins. I guess everybody can see it.
Okay, I've got it. Chronic disease, epidemics related to inflammation.
And inflammation is one of the types of toxins for us. Well, the acidity, I mean, is one of the toxins for us. That leads to, and the toxins and the acidity together lead to the inflammation. Lead to what are the epidemics?
Diabetes, prescription drug use, Alzheimer's, numerous forms of arthritis, lupus, inflammatory bowel diseases, age-related macular degeneration, sepsis, infection in the bloodstream, autoimmune diseases, including lupus multiple sclerosis, other diseases ending in itis, such as meningitis, acne, allergies. So how will you avoid inflammation? And, you know, the top three killers, of course, are heart attack, heart disease, cancer, and stroke, and they are in epidemic proportions.
And so that's where we don't want to go, right? That's where we don't want to go.
Right.
And so all these things are epidemic. And what they say is that when you go to the hospital and you get an infection, and then you get because you've already gone with one of these diseases, and then you get the sepsis, the infection in your blood, and that's the number one thing that really kills people, pneumonia, and then the disease spreads all the way through your body, and it's very, very difficult to keep it from killing you, and all your cytokines come out and fight so much, and that kills you. And so alkalinity would really, really help in preventing these diseases. If you're staying acidic, you're just asking for it. And so then we go to listening to our body. And Karen has been mentioning that quite a bit, and she thought it was nuts to begin with. Probably was. But I hadn't begun to listen to my body very early on, just trying to figure out why am I having these headaches. I have headaches all the time, too many headaches. And finally discovered one of the things was MSG. That was consistent and when I went for certain kinds of food, that if I ate out frequently, then I would have headaches. MSG is monosodium glutamate, and some of those, and glutamate is also can be a natural product in portobello mushrooms, and tomato sauce. So whenever I went for pizza, then I would get one of those headaches. And so any of the rest of you, would you please share what you have noticed in listening to your body? What happens? What is some of the language? Headaches was the one that I had most. So what other things have you noticed?
Well, this is Kathleen, and my skin breaks out.
Okay. That would be an indicator, yes. Definitely.
It breaks out, and my hands just crack and itch and ooze, and it's just, I think I now realize it's just the toxins trying to get out.
Okay.
I'm convinced fibromyalgia just feeds on sugar. And I've been off of it now, and it's wonderful. I love it.
Wow. So then you're just aching and aching when you eat sugar?
Oh, yeah. If I do anything with my large muscles, now I'm not going to tell you that I'm clear over it, because I think I have a while to heal my body, but it is dramatically better, yes.
Just from cutting out sugar in all forms.
Yes. And then
okay,
I try to also eat the foods like you've been teaching that are high in alkaline, because I understand that when you use when you put alkaline foods in your body, it helps your body to heal.
Okay. I had a question. I forgot what it was. Poor memory. Yeah, I do notice poor memory. If I eat sugar or gluten, it definitely affects my mind. And energy. I think, you know, I've talked a little bit about fatigue and the energy level being so such an important indication, or I don't know how to say the language, that your body is telling you something. Maybe it just tells you need a better night's sleep. But if you have fatigue, or you break out, or you hurt and ache. This last week we were in Texas, and And I ate potatoes three times. And potatoes are one of the nightshade family. I seem to have several little things that bother me. My body really is expressive. I mean, I don't feel like I'm a person who talks loud, but I think my body really talks loudly to me. And other people might be susceptible to monosodium glutamate, for instance, is one of the things that people may be killing off their brain cells, but they don't react like as loudly. Your body doesn't speak as loudly, so it might be affecting you and you don't even know that. However, mine speaks very loudly and it objects, gives me headaches, and the monosodium glutamate, or the nightshade family, I can eat tomatoes, fresh tomatoes, I eat them every day, and it doesn't affect me, and that's one of the nightshade family. But the potatoes, I can have one once in a while, and without it yelling at me, but I had them three times, and I had all these just little aches. It was really hard to sit in an airplane on the way home, as I have all these aches in my back and leg and just odd spots, and I know that that happens by kind of keeping a record, a journal, of what I ate and where and what happened, and so that's how you learn to figure out what your body is saying to you. Stop eating all these nightshade potatoes.
This is Nancy, and what I find is when I have MSG, it will cause an aching in my jaw around the TMJ joint, and it's very strong. But the other is slightly running clear runny nose right after having certain foods that I'm allergic to.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, the other one is the drowsiness. If I have bread products, I get kind of drowsy, ready for bed on the way home from a restaurant.
Okay.
I've really suffered with drowsiness, even at the table.
Mm-hmm, right.
Yeah, then you wonder, well, what did I just eat?
Yeah.
That would happen to me with sugar.
Yeah, me too. Sugar will put me right to sleep.
You know, I think it's very helpful to share what the different things are, because then we know a little bit better what we're looking for.
Yes, and I noticed that I have a lick. That itch, I begin itching all over, and I hadn't thought about it, but particularly if I eat tomatoes very often, I really get itch. So that probably, I hadn't even thought about the tomatoes, but I do itch all over and don't have much energy. And I like to sleep, too, when I get real sleepy, and that just doesn't like me at all to get sleepy during the day.
Is it sleepy from tomatoes as well, or would that be from something else, Margaret?
That would just be from something else, not tomatoes.
You don't know what you're getting, sugar, maybe?
Could be the sugar, I don't know.
Yeah, sugar or even high glucose, high glycemic foods would do the same thing. Like white rice, or I'm avoiding the gluten ones, but of course the gluten ones, the spaghetti or just bread that is not very fibrous, just, you know, like white bread or something like that. Which you count those exactly the same as sugar.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those things that all make you tired. You know, one of the ones that affects us, we're talking a lot about foods, but what about stress? I have a different kind of reaction to too much stress is that I break out in hives all over my body. And when Dennis was in the hospital and they didn't know if he was going to make it through the night, all of a sudden my face started getting hotter and hotter and hotter, and I looked in the mirror and it was like a lobster. And I went to the people at the desk and I said, could you give me an antihistamine? And finally they said they had to give me register me, and it cost me $600 or something like that, which my insurance paid for one antihistamine. That was the most expensive antihistamine tablet I've ever seen. And I took it, and then it made it go away. But I had itching on my arms, and at pulse points I would start itching. And so it's not just our foods It could be in the air, could be in your water, and if you're drinking some of the water wherever you are, or it could be from being overstressed. Anything else anybody has mentioned or experienced? Okay, so let's go ahead and go to the food and the chart, food chart. And so the other toxin is on the left, far left side of that food chart. The acidity, all these, there's one of the things that, some of the ones on the far left, but then the high glycemic and should be over there too, but we didn't have room. That would be if we could get the block chart fixed up, then we would see the high glycemic things being on the bottom of that chart. And those would be listed as somewhat toxic also, because if they're going to cause problems with our blood sugar, and they're going to cause problems with gaining weight, and having too much fat on our body is actually a toxin to us, and causes all these problems to be worse, and the diseases to, they lead more to these diseases, and that's why all of us are trying to keep our body weight normal for us. It's not. And we shouldn't try to be twiggy, but keep our body weight right down. And so one of the things in talking about the weight and the stress, an answer for that would be exercising. When I exercise, I can feel my body relaxing. So it helps that chart. Helps that to get down off the chart with our stress. I wanted to say a little bit about our plate, where we're eating, and some of us have been mentioning, and I'm sure it happens to most of us, would be the amount that we're eating and which things that we are choosing. Keep in mind when we are looking at that plate, and it says you're going to have this much protein and you're going to have these fruits and vegetables, and pretty much all the time you can have just fruits and vegetables, especially if you have more vegetables. But of course, if we eat higher on the fruits, and especially the higher glycemic ones, it will cause us to lose weight more slowly. Anyone want to help me out with that? A discussion of what you've noticed when you're eating, whether you're losing some weight or you're not, based on your choices.
Well, Ruth, I've lost 13 pounds. I guess we're not supposed to say lost, but that's what's happened. And I'm not out to find it again. And it's just been simply by having this balance of alkalinity, I think it's helped my body to release. Now, I have not been hungry. And I think that that's a wonderful plus.
Does it help to be able to eat those nuts?
Yeah. I do eat a lot of those.
Oh, and I think when we're not eating so much sugar, I think sugar really triggers addiction. And I don't know about you, but if I eat sugar, I keep thinking I'm hungry. I'm not hungry, but my body thinks I am. It thinks I need more and more and more. So I think just the fact that so many of us have cut way back on our sugar is helping us not be hungry too. But I love Nancy mentioning putting that avocado in our shake, because boy, did that make a difference.
It really makes the shake nicer, doesn't it? Makes it so smooth.
Makes it smooth, and it is so, so satisfying in hours. I have to remind myself it's time to eat a little something.
I'm glad you mentioned that. So I've certainly found the same thing to be true. And I put it I love it in my salad. That's the same thing when you put it in your salad.
Yep.
But doesn't make your smoothie move, but it makes your salad very satisfying as well. And our brains have to have that good fat.
They do. Yeah, this is Kathleen, and I just got off by going away for the weekend, and I took some gluten-free bars for support, and they're not that good for me, and I'm just, when I hear you talk about it, I'm just craving the green smoothies. Those are so good for me, and I do a lot of those when I'm home, and I do lose weight, and I do feel good, and I just crave those things, and I kind of got off with the bars and a little bit of stuff, and then I went to the church, and somebody made a very special gluten-free dessert, and I tasted it, and I paid the price. I was just sweating in bed a while ago, and I got up because I just felt so bad at, you know, several hours after you have something like that, I just feel miserable, and it's sugar.
Well,
I think
what we need to understand about sugar, that is that what does a cocaine addict, what do they do when they go to try to go get off whatever they are on? They go through withdrawals. Now, some people can go on those type of narcotics or dope. And they can come off, but all of a sudden they start getting them urges. Well, it's like Mary Lou said, and I think what sugar is, and I'm sure you can find this in a lot of books, that it is addicted. It is addiction. So even though we don't sometimes, in my mind, think that we are not, how do I say this, not addicts, but because of the way that food has been marketed to us, and understanding that when cigarettes, that what they do with cigarettes and what the nicotine is addicting, and the things they put in cigarettes, well, you know, we know they're putting it in the food. So when we try to come off that sugar, whatever, our body then tells it, starts to feel, it gives you the emotional feeling that you're hungry, you want something. And what you're wanting is you're wanting that dope, you're wanting that sugar. So I think if we can just kind of relate that a little bit to what sugar does to our bodies, and the only other thing I can say, and that's the reason the fatigue comes about, is that being a diabetic and a heavy diabetic at times, I know that when I'm on sugar, I eat a piece of bread or I eat a carbohydrate, spaghetti or pasta or anything like that, that breaks down real quick and bam, hits my, because that's what the glycemic thing is, that food breaks down and smacks us with that sugar real hard, and that's why we feel fatigue. And one of the first symptoms of being a diabetic, not maybe the first, but is always thirsty and always feeling fatigued, and particularly after meals, because what we're eating, the wrong type of foods on the glycemic index and the glycemic load, is that we're hitting ourselves with that addiction or that dope, in my mind, and that's the sugar. So that's my feeling in regards to why we, particularly those of you that are having problems with, say, when you eat sugar, that's just exactly what's happening in your body. You're just pumping it up with, and I don't mean it to be negative. I'm just saying that's what sugar does to us.
Hey, Monty, I think I shared with the group yesterday that that is true, and this was on a Fox News thing that I heard, where they're saying now that sugar is a drug. It's like drinking alcohol or smoking. And they say that it will contribute to cancer and heart disease. And, you know, when I heard that, you know, I told all of you that last Sunday I served cake and ice cream to my family. Now, I didn't eat it, but I served it to them. And I thought to myself, how in all good consciousness could I ever, ever do that? And so today my husband's nephew is coming to visit, and I'm serving a sugarless pumpkin pudding. and I found it online. So if you want to have a dessert occasionally that has a little bit of a sweet, in using the stevia and agave, you can make desserts that are very tasty, and then you're still serving your guests something that is a little on the sweet side, but you're not using that sugar.
You know, Karen, what an enabler
is? Can you I think so. Thank you, Monty, for what you had to say, too. That was very good. Karen, can you tell us, what did you put in your pumpkin pudding to make it a little bit sweet?
I haven't made it yet. I have the recipe, and it is a pure maple syrup.
Oh, so that's still a sugar. It's just a healthier one.
Is that a sugar, too?
Glycemically, yes.
Ah, well,
you know,
I'm going to have to find something else then, because, oh, dear.
Well, it's a healthier sugar. I mean, we're going to use some honey sometimes. We're going to use some pure maple syrup sometimes, and that is in some of the recipes. I think it's even in Kathy Apostol, some of hers possibly. But if you have, now Monty's been talking about the glycemic index, and so if you put nuts in it and a whole wheat or whole grain, I should say, flours, then you'll increase the fiber. Doing things that increase the fiber will slow down the effect of the pure maple sugar, and so that will not affect them glycemically. Do you have anything to add to that, Monty?
No, you're right on. It's just that you have to remember that everything we put in our body breaks down differently. That's why if we take white sugar and we put it in our body, it breaks down real fast and slams us, okay? Now, so our insulin gets, our blood sugars go up. You take maple syrup and those type of other things that I consider to be more natural, they still will do that, but they don't break down as fast, and that goes back to the glycemic index. They don't break down. They still put the sugar in your body, but they don't. The body doesn't absorb it as quickly, so you don't get that slamming situation or that feeling, that real high fatigue.
Well, do you think, though, that it is in the category of sugar when it comes to being a drug? Because that's the way they likened it on that show, on that news show, was that they likened it to a drug.
Karen? This is Kathleen, and I might be able to speak to that. I'm from a family that's predisposed to alcoholism, and once I sent my brother to rehab, and I had to go there, family had to go there, and I listened to a lecture, and they were saying the alcoholic takes in the alcohol, and the body can only break it down to acetaldehyde, A-C-E-T, aldehyde. And acetaldehyde is harder on the body than formaldehyde, which you are preserved in when you die. And certain bodies just can't break it down any farther than that. And I also went to a chemistry class at the college after that, and the professor said exactly the same thing, that it breaks it down, it can break it down, and it's the same for sugar. Sugar breaks down just like the alcohol does. And so I fight that, because I'm the same flesh and blood as this brother and these other people, and I just fight the sugar, can't do it.
But what about this maple syrup when it's in, an unrefined condition? Is it the same as eating sugar?
Let me try to answer it this way for you. Is there a difference between cocaine and marijuana in regards to the harshness that it does to the body? I don't know, because I've never had any. I'm just, and that's the way I guess I look at it, is we have different degrees of narcotics. Some morphine's very strong. We can get into all these other type of things. But to me, if it falls in the category of a sugar, it just, to me, I look at it as, well, am I taking cocaine or am I smoking a joint? You understand what I'm saying there?
In other words,
I do.
Okay.
I mean, that's the way I think. I got nothing to back that up.
I do too.
So
I have trouble with stevia and agave and all of that.
For a person who is susceptible to sugar problems, either high or low blood sugar, it will affect them the same. However, a honey or a pure maple syrup also has in it some things that slow it down, but it also has vitamins in it, whereas white sugar has nothing. It's just, there's no value there at all. It's just a drug thing. It's also been bleached most of the time. So organic sugar even is a little bit better than white sugar, and so you just have a gradient, and it depends also on how your body can handle those things. And so that's where it is. It's just some are really bad, and some are a little bit better, a little bit better. And it depends not only on the food that you're taking in, but also on how your body handles it.
That's one thing I think we always need to remember in this program, is that each and every one of us are different, and we're affected differently by a potato, a banana, whatever we're eating. Our bodies are all going to relate differently in most cases.
Well, another thing is, are you sitting around after you have it, or are you a person that gets a lot of energy? Now, sometimes even a half a banana will affect me because my blood sugar tends to crash a bit. But if I feel tired and I go up and jump on my little trampoline or just go for a bike ride or something, it will burn it off. And so that affects. So there's not anything harmful in the sugar. There is things harmful for white sugar. I mean, we shouldn't have that. And high fructose corn syrup is even worse. There are other problems with it, in addition to the pure sugar aspect. But if you're having honey, which I have honey sometimes in my tea, but just a small amount, pretty often I have it in there. And or pure maple syrup in your baked goods, well, then you can. That's not something that we're going to consider clear over there with a bad triangle warning sign on our food chart. Look on there; you can see where some of those are. Also, acid alkaline wise. So it's about time for us to close up shop today, and I really appreciate the great help you've been, especially since I didn't have any slides. Tomorrow, Monty will be here with us, and so if there's any time, so we know we'll enjoy that. And if there's any time that you cannot be on the call, remember that Steve Crowfoot does record them every day, and you can find those recordings on allswell.com. That information is on our website under Ruth's presentations, but it is allswell.org. I said that wrong to begin with. O-R-G. So thanks for joining us today, and we'll be here again tomorrow, hopefully with the slides. Monty, if you need any specific slides that you'd like to have me make up or have already made up, then let me know, and I'll put them on. Hopefully I'll put them on for you.
Thank you, Ruth.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Hey, bye.
Bye.